Begin the current daf Masechtas Bechoros daf Lamed Tes. Begin on the bottom line of Lamed Chesem Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we mentioned the previous Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this paragraph of Al Eilu Mumen, what's considered permanent blemishes to permit the slaughtering for individual purposes of a Bechor that's considered Bal Mum. We spoke about Chavarver, if there's white specks in the eye, and if there's water, and if both of them are permanent, then it's considered blemish. So he said permanence for the chavarver, for the white blemish, for the white dots, is if it's there for 80 days. And then we said what considered mayim hakavum, that's permanent water in the eyes. So you do an inspection. You check over a period of 3 months. You give the animal fodder from from a field that's enough from rainwater. And you give it first the moist one and then the dry one. And then if it didn't heal, then that's a permanent blemish. Now, so the Gemara left off from Rabbi Yechanan, named Rabbi Pinchas ben Arayva, that what you feed it every single day is the amount of a dried fig. That's how much you feed it of this animal fodder, and then that's the test that administered. Now, on that, the Gemara continues, Amar Rava, says, Baibim Arava, but in the West they asked, Kegregor, is this that we give the amount of a dried fig? Is that Besuda Rishayna? Is that the first meal that it eats every single day? That's what we give for this therapy of this amount of the Gregoris? Or as we get 10 type of Lamed Tes, maybe every meal that it has, you give a gregris of this animal fodder. Now, if you say it's only by the first meal, is it before the meal or after the meal? Now, the reason why we're saying it specifically only if it's the first meal of the day is because if this is administered by every meal, then obviously there wouldn't be a question, because obviously it wouldn't be a difference if to ask if it's before the meal or after the meal, because the second meal of the day is after it had eaten already and it's been fed. But if you say that you only give it the first meal of the day, then we could have this question, as the Gemara explains. Before it eats the meal, most definitely that would be therapeutic, and therefore that would be part of the test to see if it gets healed or not, like regular medicine, that a person drinks the medicine for his refuah before he eats. Now the question is, la'achar chilamai, but after it is eaten, would that also be a valid inspection to see because if it would heal or not because it has to be taken before the meal? So to kaidim shtiyah or la'achar shtiyah, before it drinks or after it drinks, as the Gemara explains. For sure, before it drinks, that would be beneficial, and to see if it's a permanent blemish or not, like regarding barley, that it's normal for the animal to eat barley before it drinks. But la'achar shtiyah, our question is, after it already drank, then our question is that a good refuah to see if this is going to heal it or not? So to kasher ay mutter, tied or untied, as the Gemara explains, mutter vadi malila. When the animal is untied, most definitely, it prefers that freedom, that mobility, and therefore the medicine should help if it would not be a mum kavua. But kasher mai, is it also definitive if the animal is tied up during the time that it was administered? So to levado im chaveri, alone or with its friends, as the Gemara explains, im chaveri vadi malila, with its friend, most definitely prefers companionship, and there the eating would generally be helpful and therapeutic. And again, therefore, that should be a good litmus test to see if it's a mum kavur or not. But levad leimai, our question is it also valid this test if it's by itself? So to be'ir, and the gear says, oy basada, in the city or in the field? As the Gemara explains, basada vadi malila. In the field, most definitely, that should be beneficial because it prefers the open ear. Be'ir mai, our question is, but in the city, is that also a good test? And Bar Ravashi says, "Imtim tzulem basad." If you say it needs a field, gina hasmucha liirmai. What's halacha with a garden that's near the city? Is that qualified like a sada or not? Says the Gemara, take a look at all these questions. It's not clear what is exactly the parameters that's enough sufficient for this administering of this test. Now, the Mishnah had quoted Reb Chanina ben Antignasaymer. He said, "V'chulu this that we said regarding chavarver kavua, the permanent blemish of the white spots in the eyes." He says it's not just 80 days, he says you have to inspect it 3 times during those 80 days. Now, on that, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he qualifies, he says, Ubavad shiyum shalashim, and it has to be in thirds, meaning it has to be equally divided into 3 parts, which is, if let's say someone checks today to see, and to see if it has the white dots, he should check 26 and a half days later, then again 26 and a half days later, and then again on day 27, for a total of 80. because during these three different periods, it's normal for the blemish to go away and not be seen and then come back, which would make it into a mum oiver. So the fact that it's still there after 80 days is not proof, because it comes and goes. To see that it's a permanent blemish that has been there throughout, one would have to make sure that he checks in the equal areas of thirds going through to the entire 80 days. Now, going back to that other blemish that the Mishnah spoke about, which we just mentioned before, regarding when there's water in the eyes, so we said that there's a test that it's administered to see if it's a permanent blemish. Now, Baimene Pinchas Achu de Mar Shmuel Mishmuel. The brother Shmuel asked from Shmuel, let's say Achel Velo Itasi. So it ate the fodder, the specific type, the moist, the dry, from that type of field, and it didn't get healed. So we said, okay, that's a Mum Kavua. But the question is, Lemafreya Havamuma? Is it now retroactively considered that it was all along blemished? And now we just verified it? Maybe now is when it becomes and negates that blemish, but up until now it wasn't considered blemished. So the question is, Lemainafkimin, what's the difference? Either way, it's a blemish now. Says the Gemara, it's Lemimel Bepidjainai. It's regarding, was there the halach of Me'ila on the pigeon, which. The question that we're asking is not regarding the laws of Bechor, as is in the context of our parak, because by Bechor there's no halacha of pidyon of redeeming it. Rather, our question is regarding other kadshim, which their eyes were dripping this water, and someone right away realized, okay, this is a blemish. So he went and he deconsecrated, as regular psulim mikdash and have a mum, he deconsecrated onto monies, which is the money now is considered that has the sanctity. He says, this sanctity of this animal is deconsecrated onto these monies. Then he did the test to the animal, and before the 3 months passed, the 80 days, he went and he had benefit from that redemption money. So, if you say that retroactively, it was always a blemish, so it comes out that when he did the chilul, the deconsecration, it was a valid deconsecration, and his redemption money had the sanctity of the animal, because it was blemished at that time. So therefore, moil. So therefore, he has misappropriated that hektish monies, and he has to bring a carbon meila for using those monies. But if you say it's only now that it gets the status of being blemished, so then he didn't misappropriate those monies, because then it wasn't yet a mum yet. So my, what's the halacha? So Kari Shmuel Alei, so Shmuel recited on his brother, this pasuk in Yeshaya, Pischim Bazazu Baz, that it's not something that people could tolerate, this pasuk, which is that the lame are taking the plunder. In other words, you who are not so sharp, and you ask me a question I don't know an answer for, he says, that's just like what this pasuk says, that the lame are taking the plunder, how could they do that? And he didn't have an answer for his brother regarding this question. Now, the Gemara continues with the halacha of the next Mishnah, continuing on these different body parts, the anatomy of the bechor, regarding what's considered a blemish, chaitma, regarding the nose, Shenikiv, if it had a hole, Vishenifkim, or if it got notched, or Vishenistik, or if it split, or Sefamai, or if it's lip, Shenikva, Shenifkim, or Shenistik, if it got a hole, or if it got notched, or if it got a split, these two body parts, those are considered mumin blemishes that are kavur. Now, tell about Linda Bryson. Nikvu chait min zelo teirse, if the nostrils split one into the other, but it's mibachutz, it has the hole that's visible on the outside, which is the outer part of the nostril, is visible, the hole on the outside, then harezumum, that's considered a blemish. But mibifnim, if only the septum that separates the two different nostrils, one from the other on the inside, that's what got blemished, then einamum, that's not considered a blemish, because that's in the concealed area, and the halacha, as we explained in the previous stuff, has to be in a revealed area, and therefore that wouldn't be considered a blemish to permit the bechor bachutz. The Mishnah continued and said, Safasai, regarding its lips, also shenikva v'shenifkim v'shenistika, if it has a hole, or if it notched, or if it got split, is a blemish. Now, Amar Papa, he qualifies, and he says, Teire bara desifse. This is the outer row of the lip. In other words, only the outermost line of the lip, but not the whole width of the lip. It's only what's all the way on the outside that would be considered a blemish to permit the bechor bachutz. Gemara continues with the next Mishnah regarding the inner part of the mouth, chutin hachitzainus, the gums on the outer part of the mouth, which is on towards like by the area of the nose, shenifkemu, if it developed a crack, or v'shenigmu, if it was cut, or that's on the outer ones, or hapanim shenekru, or if the inner gums, they got uprooted, so those are going to be considered as a mum. Rav Chanina ben Atignas he says no. Ein baidkin min atiyumis v'lifnim. We don't check at all from the tiyumis, which means literally the double one, and inside, which this refers to is the large teeth, which are called the molars, which one of those teeth is like two teeth. That's how big they are. So regarding the area of those teeth of the molars and inner, we don't check at all. Vaflois atiyumis, and not even the tiyumis themselves, meaning if the gums that are by the area of the molars are uprooted, that's not considered a blemish. We don't want to look at that area. That's totally inside. It's concealed, and therefore that wouldn't be considered as a valid mum. Tanabam lenna braisim hatiyumis, these molars, ezu tiyumis, what's the tiyumis, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain how to translate what this braisim is saying. Min hatiyumis ulifnim, from the tiyumis and more inside in the mouth. And the tiyumis itself is like what's inside, and again, if it has a blemish, we're not going to have to slaughter the animal because of that blemish. He says, we only slaughter the animal because of a blemish in the outer gums, which is in the middle of the mouth, not those in the back. Now, a third opinion, he says, we don't look at those molar as the gums of those molars at all, and it doesn't even get invalidated from being brought as a carbon on the mizbech. Now, the Gemara says, my kama. What was the Tanna Kama saying when he says, what's a tiyumis? And what does he say? From the tiyumis inside. It doesn't define what it is. Visu, moreover, they're both saying the same thing. Tanna Kama says, we don't consider the inner ones, meaning the ones towards the back of the mouth. And he was the second opinion of Shuman Gibson was saying the same thing. Only those on the front, in the outer part, that we do use. And that's what we consider as a blemish. Says the Gemara, Yerech, Sur Mechse Bachik Tani, there are words missing in the Brice, and this is what it's supposed to say. Ezehu hapanimis, what is considered the inner gums that we learned in the Mishnah, that if it's uprooted, it's a blemish, but if it just is notched, or if it has a crack, then it's not going to be considered a blemish. That's min hatiyumis v'lifnim. That's from those molar area and inner. The tiyumis aspik v'lifnim, and the molars themselves are also considered the more inner part, which it would not be considered as a mum if it just has a crack or a split. It would only be if it was removed. Now, b'med v'mum, and that's what he says. When did we say this? Shenifgamu v'shenigmu. When is it not considered a mum? If it's notched or if it has a crack. But if it was uprooted, then we would slaughter it based on even the innermost gums in the back of the mouth. Now, that's what he came to say. He says, no, we only slaughter based on the blemish on the outer ones, meaning towards the front of the mouth. Of the panemia shenekru, but regarding the inner ones that got uprooted, says, and he says, no, you're right. We're not going to slaughter and permit the Bechar Besnit. This is what he disagrees with the Tanna Kamma. He says, but it will become invalidated from being utilized on the Mizbech, and then you have to wait till another blemish develops, and then you can be able to slaughter it. So that's what he's saying, that regarding this, that we say that the inner ones, he says, no, not like Tanna Kamma, the inner ones uprooted is going to permit it. No, it's not going to permit it. However, it will invalidate it as a carbon. So he's saying you only really, he's being more stringent. He says you only consider the outer ones, meaning to permit it for Bukhar, but he would agree that it would be invalidated from a carbon. He says even more. He says, Emashkirin al tiyumis kal ikr were his words. You don't look at the molar area at all, meaning vafliv suli liv, so it's not even invalidated from a carbon. That's the three-way machlekes regarding the Tanna Kamma and Yerushua and Rebchanina regarding the innermost ones. Is it that if it gets uprooted, it's totally permitted? Or if it gets uprooted, no, it's only going to be invalidated. Or if it gets uprooted, it's not even invalidated. It can even be brought as a carbon on the Mizbech. Now, continuing on this theme, regarding the innermost molars, which are concealed type of a mum, so Bayer of Achtavei Bar Ami says, "Yesh mechusar eva mibifnim." Is there a halacha of a missing limb in the inside area, or ain mechusar eva mibifnim? Or is there no such halacha as a missing limb as a problem about if it's inside? So the Gemara wonders, "Lamai, for what halacha is he asking?" Ila b'char, if it's like the context of our parak regarding the laws of the firstborn, what permits it to be go ahead and utilize if it's a permanent blemish, and he wants to know, is it a blemish if it's in the inside? Says the Gemara, but Pisech HaIvriksev, and this is what we had presumed up until now when he established this on the previous daf, it says in the Pasuk, what type of blemish is permitted b'char to be eaten by an individual, is if it's lame or if it's blind, which sounds like things that are revealed and not things that are hidden, that if it's hidden, it's not considered a blemish. Now, Ila Kachim, if it's regarding the redeeming of a carbon, Iveris eshavrksiv. There it also says that it's a mum that's magula, because it says that if it's broken or if it's blind, that we see that it has to be something that's magula, and if it's mibifnim, it's not considered a valid mum to redeem it. So says Gemara, you're right. Leishchute, to slaughter the firstborn animal regarding a chisaron that's on the inside, or vitlifruke, to redeem a kudshim as psuli mikdashim, lo yibaylan. You're right. There we didn't have a question that's not going to be considered a blemish if it's something that's in the inside. Our question was just, would it invalidate it from being brought as a carbon? My, what's the halacha? Why? Because tamim yuleratzin amrachman, the Torah says that it should be unblemished to be willing for you to be brought on the mizbeach, which sounds like tamim in chisaron lay. It has to be totally unblemished and it cannot be missing anything. And therefore, even though in the inside, it would still be missing. Dilma, maybe no. Tam yuleratzin is the girsa. It says unblemished it should be for willingness. And the pasuk continues, kol mum lo yiboy, and it cannot have any blemish. Now, ma mum mavroi, just like we established that a blemish is only on the outside, so maybe afchasar mavroi, maybe also something that's missing, would only be on the outside to be a problem of being tamim, and therefore that was the question of Rav Achtavai. Yes, it's not going to help to redeem it or to permit it to be slaughtered, but would it invalidate at least from a carbon or not? That was his question regarding chasar and mibifnim. So the Gemara says, Tashma Tzvinger Raya from the following Bryce. So the Pasuk says in Vayikra regarding Karbanis, so it says regarding the parts that you have to take out of the animal and you sacrifice in the Mizbeach, it says Veshteh HaKloyas, and the two kidneys. Now, says the Bryce, which tells us Veloy Bal Kloyachas, but an animal that has only one kidney is not going to be valid. And also Veloy Bal Sholosh Kloyas, and it's not going to be valid if it has three kidneys. It has to be an animal that has two kidneys. Now, but we learn a different Bryce. It says there at the end of that pasuk that all these different parts, yisirena, that you should remove it from the animal, and then it's sacrificed with its emurim, its fats, on the mizbeach. Now, yisirena is in the singular, which sounds like that even if it's one kidney that you're taking out and sacrificing, that would be valid. Says the Bryce, l'rabbis bal koyachas, that includes an animal that has one kidney, that could be brought as a carbon. Now, so we have a machlekes. Is one kidney animal good or not? Now, Savru, they thought, the rabbis who were interpreting these two different prices, the kula ame im ber yibachas, that everyone agrees that there is no animal that's created with one kidney. And if you have one that has only one kidney, so the hamichsa chaser must be that because it's missing it. Something happened to it that it's missing. So layman balkim mifligi, so let's say this is what they're disagreeing about, exactly in Rabbi Achtavai's question. The Marasa by the Tana, the first Bryce holds Chisaron Mibifnim Shmei Chisaron. And something that's missing from the inside, which is not revealed, it's inside the animal, that's still considered missing, and therefore it's going to be possible. And the Tana, the second Bryce, held that no, something in the inside is not considered missing, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So Rav Achtavai's question is a machlekes Tanayim. So Rav Chibur Yetziv says no. The Kula Amar, we could say that everyone holds Yesh Ber Yibachas, that actually you could have animals that are born with one kidney. And we could say, everyone agrees that an inner lacking is considered a lacking. But like Kasha, and there's no difficulty then, so that what's their machloikis? Khan, the Tana, the first Bryce, has said it's going to be possible with one kidney, is Kishin Nivra Bishtayim Bechasru, where we see that it was created with two kidneys and it's missing, because we see the place where it was taken out from. We see that the injury happened. So therefore, it's going to be possible. Because Chasar Mibifnim, everyone agrees it's Shmei Chasar. Khan, the Tana, the second Bryce that says it's going to be kosher with one kidney, is Kishin Nivra Ba'achas Mikara, where it was created with one kidney initially, where that was not through a chisaron, and therefore it's going to be kosher. Now the Gemara wonders, but how could you say that? The Tana, the first Bryce, when it says that having one kidney is a problem, said another case. It says two kidneys in the Torah, so it says having one is not good. And v'hadumi d'shalish k'tani, it also compared it to when it has three kidneys. And mashalish mikara, and therefore just like when there's three kidneys, that's toma genetically, that's how it was created. Afachas mikara, so therefore also one is when it was created like that, not like the Gemara's previous interpretation that it said because it started with two and then ended up with one. Seemingly it should be that it was always with one, like the case of the three. So the rather says the Gemara a different interpretation. Hacha b'yesh beria mikara k'mifaki. The machlekes that they're having is there an animal that's created with one kidney or not? Marsavar Yeshberi Ba'achas, the Tana second Bryce says, yes, an animal could be created with one kidney and therefore it's going to be kosher. There's no, it didn't happen through a chisaron. But a Mar, the Tana the first Bryce held it's going to be puzzle, Savar Emberi Ba'achas held that, no, there is no creature that's born with one kidney, and if it only has one kidney, then most definitely it's missing, and chisaron mebifnem shmei chisaron. Now Rashi brings that his teacher was wondering, so why didn't the Gemara ask, but how can you say that? You're telling me that it was the case that he's saying one is not kosher is because it can't be born with one. It started with two and now it's down to one. But Domi D'Shalish Ketani, which sounds like that's the way it was Mikar, that's how it was born. So Rashi says, no, it's not a difficulty, because when the Gemara initially assumed that everyone holds that an animal could be born with one kidney, so therefore the Gemara asked, okay, since an animal could be born with one kidney, and the Tana of the first Braisa says the case of one kidney together with the case of three kidneys, most definitely it should be similar that it was born like that, and it's going to be possible even like that. But still, we wouldn't know exactly why that's possible, because it's not a Mumsha B'Gali, and the Chesaron B'Bifnim is not going to be a Chesaron. So therefore, because of that question, that's why the Gemara actually is now explaining that this Tana holds no Ein Beriyah Ba'achas. It cannot be born with one kidney. And therefore, if it only has one kidney, it must be that it was missing. And by default, then you have to say that it's not the same as the case of three kidneys, because three kidneys obviously was born like that. And here we're saying that Ein Beri Ba'achas, it cannot be born with one kidney, and therefore it must be because it's missing. And if you're going to say, what do you mean, explain that this Tana holds that it could be born with one kidney, then why is it going to be possible? That should be like then the second Tana of the second Braisa, and therefore that's where the Gemara is concluding right now that no, this Tana holds that Ein Beri Ba'achas, and therefore it must be missing. Yeah, not like the case of Shalish, and therefore it's possible. Another approach of Rabbi Yechonam, he says, the Kula Alma Ein Beri Ba'achas. We can say that everyone holds that an animal cannot be born with one kidney. V'chasar mebifnim shmei chasar, and really missing on the inside is considered a lacking. But like Kasha, still it's not difficult, especially according to the Tana of the second Braisa. Khan, the Tana for his Brais is Shachaster Kaim Shchita, where it was missing, the deficiency happened before it was slaughtered, so therefore it's possible because of the Chasar Mevifnim is considered Chasar. But Khan, the Tana, the second Brais says, Kasha is Shachaster Acha Shchita, where it was missing, the deficiency happened from the second kidney after it was already slaughtered. And so after the slaughtering, so therefore it's not going to be a psul. On that, the Gemara wonders, Ulacha Shchita Kodem Kabbalah Mishari, is that really so? Even if the animal was slaughtered, but before the Kabbalah of the Dam was done, and then the second kidney is missing, that's not going to be a problem about that it's missing part of the animal, which we say Chasam B'Fin B'Shemal Chasar. But as we continue to Amid Bey, he says, the Gemara, but Vam Reb Zeyam Rav, he says, Atzayim Oizan HaPar, if someone notches the ear of the par of the Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen Gadol, when he has to bring certain types of components of a par, when he sins, after it was slaughtered, they nicked the ear, and only then did they receive the blood of the animal after it was slaughtered. Puzzle, the carbon is puzzle, invalid. Why? But the pasuk says miyikra v'lakach he should take, and the pasuk continues midam hapar, from the blood of the bull. What is the bull? Hapar shayikfar, the bull that was there all along. Meaning that at the time of the receiving of the blood, the par should still be complete, obviously except for the place where it was slaughtered. So you see that it is a problem, and therefore, if you say chasam b'fnei mishmach chasan, then even if the second kidney was removed after the slaughtering, that should still be possible. Why is the time the second Braisa saying it's kosher? So Eli rather says the Gemara a little different. Kan shechasu kren kabbalah. The time the first Braisa says it's possible is, yeah, we was lacking, even after the slaughtering, as long as it was before the kabbalah of the dam. Kan, the time the second Braisa says, kasher is shechasal acha kabbalah. If it was missing after the blood was received, even before the blood was thrown, but after the kabbalah, then that's why it's not going to be a problem that the second kidney is missing, even though you only have one kidney to throw on the mizbeach. That is the Gemara, l'acha kabbalah kain mizrikim mishari, but is that even that correct? If it's missing after the receiving the blood, but before the blood was thrown, would the animal still be permitted if there's a chesar? But Ratanya, in the Braisa, Pasuk says in Shemais, by the Karm Pesach, it should be a seh, tamim, zachar, it should be a lamb that's intact, that's male, ben shana yilachem, it should be in its first year. Says the Braisa, what's the Pasuk teaching us? Shehei tamim ben shana b'shashchita. This Pasuk is talking about regarding the slaughtering, that when the animal is being slaughtered, it should be intact, complete, in its first year. Continues the Braisa, minayin b'kabbalah v'alacha v'azayin. How do you know the same thing would even apply to the receiving the blood, the transporting of the blood, and even the throwing of the blood? Tamalay miyi, it says it should be. What does that mean? Shiyu kol havayosav, that all its activities of this carbon, that's what havay always connotes, its existences, it should be tam, ben shana, has to be complete and in its first year. So you see, it has to be tam, even at the time of the hazayah. So how are you saying that it's going to be kosher if it happened after kabbalah, but it was before the zrika of the dam? So says the Gemara, no, Tirgumam, translate this that the Braisa said, that kol havayosav, that all its activities, including the hazayah, has to be, is a ben shana, is going on one of those two halachas, of being in its first year. But actually regarding being tam, of being complete, that you don't need past the shechita and the kabbalah. And the Gemara says, hachna mestabra, and it's actually logical to say that if it's missing a limb after the kabbalah of the dam, it's going to be kasha. Because the time you learn the price, he says, "Kol hazvachim shebetera, all kabanas in the Torah, shenishtar mehen kezayis basar. If there's at least left over from it, an olive size of flesh, which is enough to be considered eating consumption by a person, the kain or the owners, kezayis chaylev, or there's an olive size of the fats, which is considered sufficient to be considered achila of the mizbeach, which the mizbeach eats the fats. So if there's at least that left over, then zerik es adam. Then you could throw the blood of the carbon to fulfill the mitzvah of that carbon. Because if actually nothing is left over, not chaylev or not basar, actually you're not allowed to throw the blood of the carbon. Because the pasuk says in Devarim Yud Beis, v'siso ilasecha basar b'adam, you should do your carbon oila, the flesh and the blood, which tells us, if there's flesh, then there's blood. But if there's no flesh, then there's no blood. Now, one thing is, but we see from this braisa, is that if at least if there's leftover kezayis, then you can throw the blood. Now, there's no greater missing than this, where the whole carbon is missing. The only thing that's left over is an olive size of flesh. And still, the braisa says you can throw the blood. Obviously, you see that this that it's saying, that it has to be intact, is only going on being in its first year. But regarding the other halachas of being intact, that doesn't apply for the zrika adam, shmamina. Now, the Gemara wonders, but is there such a thing? The Bishash Shechita, you're saying that, how do we know that it has to be not only by Shechita, but even, let's say, by Kabbalah and the Hazoya? But what does that mean? If you're saying it's going on Ben Shana, can you have such a thing? The Bishash Shechita, when it was being slaughtered, have a Ben Shana, it was in its first year. Ubishash Kabbalah Baloch, have a Ben Shtei Shana, but when it was, the blood was received and it was transported, that then it was ready in its second year? But it always has to be on the same day, or else it's nicer. How could it have been a different year? So Amar Rav, he says, this tells us, Shoy's places per kachim, that even ours invalidate by the laws of kachim. And that's what the halacha is going to tell us. That if, let's say, this lamb was born last year on the 14th of Nisan, 8 hours into the day, that you have to be careful to slaughter and throw the blood before the 9th hour, because the 9th hour would invalidate it, and that's like as if it went into the second year. Now the Gemara says, Lema, going back to what we were speaking about before, let's say that this question of Rav Achdavai, if Mechusar Eva Mebifnim is considered a Chasaran or not, is Ketanoi, is like the following Machloikis Tanoi. Because the Braisa says, regarding the prohibition and the invalidation of an animal when its testicles are crushed, so it says many different terminologies. It says Umoch, if it's squashed, Vekosis, and if it's crushed, which is if it's crushed with stones until it dissolves, or Venotik, if it's detached by hand, totally. It's just it's hanging in the sack, but it's detached. Overcharis, or if it's cut with a knife, but there it's still hanging a little bit in the sack, and it's a little bit attached, because actually, although it's mentioned later in the pasuk, the halacha of charis, of cutting, is less than that of detached. As the Gemara said in the Flam and Gimel Mabez, that we're including, the reason why the pasuk mentions it is to say that even if it was already cut, but if someone then goes and takes it a little bit further and detaches it, then that's going to be considered an additional person violating the sister. But regarding all these invalidations, kulam bebeitzim, all these things apply to the testicles of the animal. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. Now the Gemara wonders, bebeim b'lei begid, what he's saying that it applies only to the testicles, that's like the eggs-shaped balls that are there in the area, and not to the male member itself. What do you mean? If anything, the gid area, the male member, if that's not a blemish, then most definitely, which that's more revealed, then most definitely the beitzim wouldn't be considered a blemish. So Amar rather says, "No, after beitzim the Rebbe what Rebbe was saying was that obviously it's a blemish in the male member, but it's even in the testicles that even that's going to be considered a blemish." The second opinion, Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, he says, "No, kulam begid. They only apply all these halachas to the member itself and not to the beitzim." And Rabbi Yisim, he says, he differentiates, says, moch v'kosis af b'beitzim, if it's crushed and if it's smashed, squashed, that applies even to the testicles. And nosuk v'karis, but if it was detached and cut, that's begit in b'beitzim loy. That's only by the member itself, but not regarding the testicles, and the reason for Rabbi Yisim will be shortly explained. So we have this three machlekes, but says the Gemara, regarding the first two opinions, my lav ba'al kamefike, isn't this Rabbi Achdavai's question, what they're disagreeing about? Demar, Rabbi Yehuda held sover, he holds chesaron mebifnim, an inner lacking, which is the beitzim, which is not so revealed like the male member, ishmei chesaron is considered a lacking, and therefore that's going to be an invalidation even by the beitzim. But mar sover, ishmei chesaron, but Rabbi Yaakov held, no, that's not going to be considered a lacking, and therefore these halachas only apply to the gid, not to the beitzim. Says the Gemara, but is that logical to say that this is what they're disagreeing about? Then Rabbi Yisi, the third opinion of Rabbi Yisi, then what does he hold? If he holds that an inner lacking is considered lacking, then even the detached and the cut should also apply to the beitzim then, because that's an inner lacking. And if he holds it's not considered lacking, then even if it was squashed or crushed, should also not be. So why is he differentiating? So the rather says Gemara, they're disagreeing about a different point. Not regarding chisaron, but here regarding a revealed blemish is what they're disagreeing about. And that is really everyone holds that an inner lacking, as the text that we have of Rashi, is that it's considered lacking. Someone say that he's saying it's not considered lacking, but that's not what they're disagreeing about. The one that says it's puzzle, even by Beitzim, is not because of chisaron. It's rather because it's considered a blemish. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, he held, if it's squashed or it's crushed, it's considered a blemish. Why? Because they shriveled up. And also regarding if it's detached and if it's cut, is also considered a blemish. The Italian, because we see it's hanging and shaking around in the scrotum, in the sac, and that's visible from the outside, that it's not attached on the top, and therefore it's a revealed blemish. We see it clearly. Now, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Sava, he held, no, malch v'chassus le'avamoma. If it's squashed or if it's crushed, it's not considered a blemish. The mikari namizim in the mechaptin. Many times, even when it's healthy, it looks like it's shriveled up. And but that's not a mum shabagali. It's not a clear cut blemish. And nasig v'charis le'avamoma. And also regarding cut and detached, is also not a blemish. The mikari namizim in the Italian. Many times also that in regular testicles, they're also like hanging and shaking around. And therefore, it's not so clear. Now, Rabbi Yisi Sava, he held somewhere in the middle. Moch v'chassus havamum. He says, if it's squashed and if it's crushed, it's a blemish, do lesnu. Because ultimately, it's not here. It gets squashed and it's considered a chesaron because it gets like dissolved. Whereas nasach v'charis lehavamum. He said, but if it's just cut and detached, that's not a blemish, do isnu, because it's here. It's just shaking around. And that's the reasoning that Machlek is therefore, it's not a raya to answer Rav's question, because that's not what they're discussing regarding if a chesaron, if have a chesaron or not, but rather, is it considered a bona fide blemish in the halachas of Mumin. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on these halachas of our paragraph of Elu Mumin, Nifkim Hazayvin, continuing on to the other parts of the anatomy, if the case that the male member is encased in and covered in, if that case gets notched, or if the genitalia, if the female, the genital area of the female, where the womb is, gets cut, and that obviously would apply by mukdashin by other kachim, which they have female animals, because regarding the laws of our parak armasech the bechayr, the firstborn animal, it doesn't apply to females, but by shlam, what you have in the cavus, so then if the womb area it gets notched, so that would be considered a blemish. Now, nifkim hazanov, if the tail gets notched, so if it's from the bone part, so then that's considered mum. Avaloi mina perik, but not if it's by the joints, meaning if between the parts gets niched, then that would regenerate and get healthy. If it didn't get cut the whole tail, because then obviously the bones are also falling off, rather just gets notched a little bit, so then if it's by the joints, then between the bones, then that wouldn't be considered a problem, but the bones themselves would be considered mum. Oy shereish danav. Or says the Mishnah, if the edge of the tail, which is hangs down on the bottom, is mefatzel, and the girsa is esa etzim, where then the skin and the flesh gets peeled away, and now the bone is raw and revealed, so then it's not going to heal anymore, since it's at the edge of the tail. That's a mum. And the Mishnah concludes, or if there's flesh between the vertebrae, that's the size of a finger breadth, that gap is something that's a blemish in the animal and would make it into a mum to permit the bechayr. Now, Amr Belazar, he qualifies the first halacha of our Mishnah of the Zayvin, Nifkim. We said that if that case gets notched, that's a blemish, because that's not going to regenerate. But v'loy nitel, but not if it was totally taken off. If it was actually totally taken off, that's not a blemish, because actually that would regenerate, that would actually get healthy back again. And so to kiss, the whole halacha was only regarding the covering. If that gets notched, that's a blemish. But v'loy zachris, but the male member itself, if that gets nifkam, actually that's not a mum, because that actually would regenerate. Tanam Hoch is similar in the Braisa. Nifkim v'lein nitel. That loch is only regarding if it got notched, not if it got taken off. And it's also only regarding the zayvin, kiss, v'lein zachar, it's only the case, but not the male member itself. And so to Omer B'Yisrael ben HaMasholim, he says, Maisa be'ein bel, there was a story in this place, Ein bel, where Echad Shenatali Zev, there was one that the a wolf took the whole Zev and the whole sheath that covers the male member, v'chaz lisan, and it came back again. It's only going to be gets nifgam, but if it gets taken, actually, it's not a mum. Now the Mishnah said nifgim mahazanov. If the tail gets notched, so we said mina etzem. If it's from the bone, it's a problem. But if it's not from the bone, between the joints, it's not a problem. V'chulu etc. The Mishnah concluded with the halacha that if there's flesh between the vertebrae, the size of a finger breadth, that's too much of a gap. That's considered a mum in the Bukhar. Now Tanya we learned the Braisa that etzba sha'amru, this that we spoke about, the law of a finger breadth, because not all fingers are equal in their dimensions. We're moreover, as the Gemara Menachah says, Daf Memal V'Mebeis, says that the biblical tefach, which is the hand breadth of a person, is 4 fingers if we're using the thumb. It's 6 fingers if we're using the pinky, and it's 5 if we're using the middle finger. So that's what the Braisa here is coming to say, that wherever the sages said, where measurements many times use the halacha of a etzba, of a finger breadth, that Achad ma'arba betefach shel kol adam. That's 1/4 of a tefach of every single person. That's what the finger breadth is going to be, which is that measurement of the goydel, which is the width of the thumb. Now, the Gemara doesn't know what halacha this brayso is going on. Therefore, the Gemara asks, Lamai hilchasav, what halacha was it ever mentioned that you, the halacha of a finger breadth, that you're qualifying and say that it's that of the thumb? So I'm a rabbi, says Lin Tchelis, it was said regarding the laws of Tchelis, meaning regarding the laws of the tzitzis. The time like Linda Braisa. Kama chutin hu naisen. How many strings does a person put on the corner of his garment for tzitzis? So Bisham Imarba, on every corner you put 4 strings. Ubizola Mushlesha says 3. Now, Bakamate Mushaleshas, and how much do the strings hang on the bottom of the garment, because you don't put it all the way at the edge of the garment, rather it has to be a little bit higher than the edge. How much is that? B'shamim arba has to be 4 finger breadth from the edge of the garment. B'silah mishleisha b'sil says has to be 3 finger breadth from the edge of the garment. Now the gear says v'shalish b'silah im, and the 3 finger breadths that b'sil say, that's what we're qualifying is echad ma'arba b'tefach shel kol adam. It's 1/4 of the hand breadth of every single person, meaning 3 goydal and 3 widths of the thumb, where each one is 1/4 of a tefach. Another interpretation, actually, of kamatei mishuleshes means how much of the tzitzis have to be mishulish, meaning that to be braided. I mean, besides the strings that are hanging that are not gedil, how much of it has to be gedil? That was the machlokes b'sham mesil, if it has to be 4 etzbois or 3 etzbois. That's one interpretation of what we were coming to say. What's the shir of the etzba? Another interpretation of Hunbrei Rabbi Yeshua, he says it's l'shte amas. It's referring to the 2 sticks that they were the measurement of an ama. Where we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim that shte amas hayu, there were these 2 sticks that measured an ama as a tenth of a mem and alf b'shushan habira. Now what that refers to is that there was a chamber, that an upper chamber that was made on top of the eastern gate of the Azara, where it was called Shushan Habira, which literally means to say the city of Shushan. But as the Gemara Menachas Daf Tzemeches Anaf explains why they called it that, because of the Persian government at the time of the second base of Migdash. Now, Achas Alker Mizrachat Tzivainus, one of these sticks was on the northeastern corner of that chamber. But Achas Alker Mizrachat Tzivainus, one was by the southeastern corner. Now, Shalker Mizrachat Tzivainus, the one on the northeastern corner, although it was officially that measuring of an amma, but it was actually a half a etzba longer than that of the one of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is 6 tvachim. The Shalker Mizrachat Zeraimis, and the one that was on the southeastern corner, Haisi Yisera, Aleha Chatzi Etzba, was another half a etzba more than the other stick. So Nimtzitzi Yisera, Al Shal Moshe Etzba, comes out that that stick was bigger than that of Moshe's, for to be an Amma, by a finger breadth more. Which, that's what we're referring to, that when we're saying etzba, how much is that? Now, V'lama Hayu Achaz Gedol V'Achaz Ketan, why were the 2 sticks, one bigger, one smaller? So the reason is, and the gear says, Sheyihu Umnin Noitlin B'Ketanah, so that the craftsmen, they should take with the smaller, meaning when the treasurer of the temple was stipulating a job with craftsmen to do certain work for the Bedek Habayis, they would stipulate with the measurement of an amma that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, umachzirin begedayla, but they should return with the larger measurement, they should make it the one that was for this measurement that was by Shushan Habira. Now, so the Gemara 1, so tarti lamali. So says the Gemara, why do we do this? So that it shouldn't come to misappropriation, that they shouldn't by mistake have benefit from Hekdesh, because if they're going to do with the same exact measurement that they took the job for, maybe they're going to be lacking a little bit, because Eif Shel Tzamtzum, it can't be exact, and therefore they're going to be benefiting from the money of Hekdesh, which is Me'ilah, so therefore we make them give it back with a slightly larger measurement. To which the Gemara asks, so Tarti Lamali, so then why do you need two sticks? With one it should be enough. Besides the one of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is six tefachim, have another one that's either a half a etzba or an etzba bigger. Why have two? It says the Gemara, because it depends what the job was. Chada de kaspa v'zahava. One stick was the one that was a half a etzba more of that of Moshe Rabbeinu, was when the job was to work in gold and silver. It's a difficult work, and it's also an expensive work. So we didn't want to cause him too much of a loss, so we did it with a half a etzba more. But the other one was regarding building, regarding the walls, that they took with the one of Moshe Rabbeinu of six tefachim, and they gave back with the one that was bigger than his by that of an etzba. And that's what we needed to know, the measurement of an etzba. Third interpretation, which relates back to halacha of our Mishnah, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'yitem, as some say, is Rav Huna Bar Nassan, says, l'aisa shashanin, it's for that which we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, sh'yesh basa bein chuli l'chulya, that if there is flesh between the vertebrae, maloy etzba, the distance of a finger breadth, that's already considered too large of a gap and considered a mum. It was regarding that we wanted to define for you what's the measurement of an etzba. It's one quarter of a tefach, but which etzba are we talking about? That's the girdle, that's the thumb, that's considered an etzba. If you have that distance between the vertebrae, that's going to be considered a mum for the Bukhar.